Man, this is a really special episode for me. I've been in the restaurant business since 2007. And for the majority of that, I've worked really closely with Sarah. And so for this episode 4, as I've been selecting people who I really think have an impact on me and the company and what we're doing, there's really no one that I think could be top of the list more than you, Sarah. So really excited to have you here.
Thank you.
It is episode 4 of the Shit Yeah Show. And we're going to be saying shit yeah a lot. I think in Savannah, you're probably known as probably the shit yeah girl the same way I'm probably the shit yeah guy.
Yeah, Publix, Walmart, anywhere I go.
No, for sure. And you're always repping the uniform too.
As it's the only clothes I own, honestly. Yep.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's kind of very similar to the restaurant business is you're repping the outfit all the time. And there's pride that comes in that. So, so happy to have you on.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
And we're going
to
be talking about what sucks about the restaurant business, what we love about it, what we're doing, what you're personally doing, and what the company's doing to improve it because we choose to be in the business. But first, I want to start off and talk about kind of how you got in the restaurant business. It's always interesting, fascinating. You have a really interesting story of how you got into it.
Yeah. We don't have enough time to go through the whole thing for sure, but, 1998.
Wow.
It was like summer after I turned 13 or 14. And my parents basically said, hey, you got to get a job, getting into trouble and stuff like that. So I started working at this little sub pizza shop. And one specific thing I remember about that was that you had to be like 18 to run the deli slicer. Okay. But 3 weeks into it, the owner's like, you can run the deli slicer. Let's go. And that's sort of like was a jumping point. I worked for Applebee's starting at 15 as a hostess. And I was like, I don't want to be a hostess. I want to be a server, but you had to be 16. So as soon as I turned 16, became a server. But I was like, servers don't make as much money as bartenders. So at 18, I became a bartender. And I just remember just watching and being like, okay, bartenders is where it's at because I made a buttload of money. Fast forward till about 21 years old, I had a general manager who looked at me and he goes, you want to come do some paperwork in the office? He's like, I really could use an admin. He's like, payroll, you know, invoices, all of that. So I was serving, bartending, and doing admin. And then I actually was roommating with one of my managers who was like, hey, can you go and cover a manager shift for me? I was like, I don't think the GM's going to be cool with that. But I did it. And the GM, you know, they handed me the key. And I was like a key, manager for a good bit. I wanted to go to school. I think we had talked about like, what sucks about the restaurant business is being in the industry, it's like, it's not a real job, you know?
Totally, yeah.
My family looked at me and was like, okay, when are you going to go to school and like, you know, start doing real work? And I was really, really good at the restaurant business. I loved serving, you know, and I loved good food and like giving things to people.
So you're one of the most passionate people that I've ever been around.
Thanks.
And I think you take a lot of pride in what you do. And so even going back to 15, you know, I think you said 15, right?
Yeah.
So in the restaurant business at 15, and the restaurant business is not a perfect business. So you're exposed to everything in that. And I think one of the things that makes you special and if you take your mindset is, and why I'm excited about the restaurant business and what makes me say shit yeah, is the upward mobility.
Absolutely.
And so what you just talked about is what's available to everybody in the restaurant business. If you have a great attitude, you show up, you're willing to learn, you're willing to put yourself out there and say yes when the opportunity comes, you can really move fast. And so just even in your teens, you were already moving up to an administrator role in Applebee's, in a large franchise chain.
Absolutely. And I had a lot of mentors along the way, for sure, who recognized that I had that ability to learn something pretty quickly and then just, you know, grow with it. And so I had the opportunity to actually go and work in the corporate office for Applebee's. And okay. That's kind of where I got sort of the other side of the business. So I'd worked so long in, you know, customer facing
right. Restaurants.
And I mean, that includes like working the fry station and the grill and all the things. I worked and did accounting and HR and payroll and things like that. But what the people in that office loved about me is that when they would have a manager call and go, hey, I'm having a problem. Me over in accounts payable was like, hey, I know how to fix that. And then I jump on the phone with them
right. And
like fix the issues
for them. You have the operations background.
Absolutely. And so it was like administrative and operations background. I really kind of have made myself, you know, really fit well within this industry of being able to have a perspective of both sides of it. So then the fast forward to meeting you.
Yeah, so let's talk about that. So that was with Five Guys when I was a Five Guys franchisee. It was right in 2011.
Yep.
Can't believe it's been 13 years.
Yeah.
It's half of 26, so it's a lucky number. We'll say that. It's wild to think that we'll have had Zunzi's longer than Johnny and Gabby here next year.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've accomplished a lot and the best is yet to come. But when you came on board with Five Guys, it was the same kind of story. We were at the beginning with three locations. We're about to double in size in a 12-month period. We're opening Five Guys in Savannah. So 12 Oaks, Whitmarsh. It was Whitmarsh first, then 12 Oaks.
And then
Hilton Head.
And then
in 2011.
Pooler.
Right. Yeah. And then a couple of years later, we did Pooler. But when you came on, I think it's so important to talk about what sucks about the restaurant business. Really, what you came on right away was we saw an opportunity in just the credit side of the business. We were getting slaughtered with every invoice.
No, it wasn't even CentOS. I forget who it was, but yeah.
Yeah, we probably shouldn't say who it was because we want to make sure.
Edit that out.
Right. So let's say it wasn't CentOS. But it was just vendors that it's an imperfect business and it's death by 1,000 cuts. And we saw, I think it was like $100,000.
$130,000
between all of our vendors that we went back and audited of misbilling. And you look at that and go, that's why the restaurant business, added to the many reasons why it's so hard to be successful, is you've got to do everything really well. And so, you know, when I got into it, I started off as the franchisee. I had no back office. I was doing the books in an apartment in Pooler that I never unpacked. You know, one or two nights a week, that's what I would do, working 7 days a week. And then I was like, okay, to expand, got to get an office manager, need to get a director of operations. Neither of those two worked out really well in the beginning, but it was just direction, not perfection. It was moving forward until finally Peggy came on and then kind of outgrew what she was able to do in those next phases. But you came on and just had that attitude of right away, just wanted to add value. And that's what we're constantly focused on doing is adding value. But right away, $130,000 of the invoices. And then I saw you had a passion for the people and you were coming in and you were wearing a Five Guys shirt, I think, every day. And so it was just a matter of time before I was like, hey, can you run down to the store and see what's going on? And then all of a sudden you were behind the line fixing something. And
that was some of the most fun, though, as I remember working up St. Patrick's Day on Bay Street with Heather.
Yeah.
A late night. And honestly, hard work. And that's what sucks about the restaurant is that it is hard
physically
work.
Demanding
physically
work.
Demanding.
Emotionally.
Absolutely. High stress, high volume. But at the end of it, like the sense of accomplishment of we just did
$10,000. You just killed the line, whatever it is. Yeah,
exactly. In a matter of hours. And the whole team, you could tell, there's sweat pouring down and everything. And at the end of it, you're high-fiving and you're like, shit, that's basically what shit yeah is, even at the Five Guys days.
Yeah, so, you know, we still had that same culture, even though it wasn't shit yeah. It was just exceeding expectations. So that's how we started working together.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2014, Zunzi's became available. And we pulled the trigger on that. And, you know, then we ended up selling the Five Guys. And it just made sense. It was like, you've been my right-hand person. I would say if there was a work wife, it's definitely you. Someone who holds all the secrets. Someone, you know, that I would say I trust more than just about anybody in the world. And I very much value that
Likewise.
Relationship that we have. And it's special. And I think it's when you've been through so many battles. And I hate to
Together,
say war
yeah.
references, but, you know, there's days in the restaurant business where it gets bloody sometimes. It's just blood, sweat, and tears to really improve and do what we're trying to do. It's not a small feat saying the restaurant business sucks. We're here to change it. And it takes the passion and your experience and knowing operations in the back end. And I think going back to what I was saying before, as the company grew, and it's really hard when you're small having a couple restaurants. There we go.
Right.
Little
problems
little
that need to be
technical
solved
difficulties.
Every day. Exactly.
Yes. It's always happening, but in the restaurant business, I think people think that if you have a great recipe, you got your great grandmother's chicken recipe or something, and then you can open a location that they'll come. And there's some stories of that, but you've got to be so good at running the storefront business that everybody sees and loves. But then you've got the other side, which is the business of business. And that's everything from HR, accounting, insurance, all of the things that are specific to every business. You have to do that really well too.
on top of impressing everyone.
On top of it. And that's why you can see a busy restaurant that goes out of business because they didn't take care of the back end.
Yeah.
And then as you grow, how do you get the right people?
Doing it right. Do it the right way.
Right. Yeah. And so that's always been our thing from the foundation is in order to grow something special, we have to commit to doing it the right way. The right way is really expensive.
Again, sort of what drew me to you. And when people say, well, because it's almost unheard of to work for a single restaurant group or even person for the amount of time that we've worked together. Yeah. And to say, well, what has kept you there? And it's always your vision of doing it the right way, compliance-wise, legally-wise, and that's not cheap. You know, there's a lot of ways to get around things,
There's a lot of ways.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so easy to run at the mom and pop way, but you can never scale it.
Yeah, cut corners and stuff, absolutely.
Right.
And we don't do that.
Right.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so, I take a lot of pride in that. And there's a way you can kind of sleep at night, even if it's not going as well. It's like, hey, at least we're trying to do it the right way.
Absolutely.
And I think that goes to our Shit Yeah Promise. The Shit Yeah Promise starts with our team. And so I was so big on that from the beginning of we need to make decisions that our team is saying Shit Yeah first, then our franchisees, right?
Yep.
Then it follows with our guests that we're turning to fans. So our fans, our community, vendors, investors, and that stakeholder model, unless it's really focused and defined and you're constantly referencing it, it's really easy to make decisions that are not good for the team or not good for your franchisee. And all of a sudden it's only investor focused or it's, let's say it's a vendor or community, whatever it is. And in the long haul, right? If you can consistently commit to that, I really believe that's the key to grow because your team is number one.
Absolutely. I was going to say, a roster of people, which again, unheard of in the business, of people who have, been with us for many, many years. I believe you spoke with Sarah Hood and Kendrick Hall.
Yeah.
And the list of those people who are either still affiliated with you, who still call you even for advice sometimes, but that are associated with Zunzi's, are proud to be associated with Zunzi's, means that you take care of your people, right? A lot of people, obviously, high turnover business with the industry. Again, another thing that really sucks is that some people just, you know you're going to make it or break it within the first 24 hours of working, within the first 2 or 3 days of your shift.
It's pretty true. Once you've been doing this, you can kind of tell.
who's going to make it or not make it. And so, I mean, the fact that every employee that I know of that has had you've had at least a personal relationship with anybody who you see is committed to what we're trying to do in this industry.
So let's talk about that.
Yeah.
So, there's what sucks about the restaurant business, what we love about it. There's kind of a blurring of that. We're kind of a little all over the place, not clear and defined, but there's no doubt your passion for the restaurant business, for
Absolutely.
People. One of our six values is live with passion. And I think that's one of those that there's no doubt you have that. But talking about relationships and with the team, as we grow, that's always been one of my concerns. And so we've partnered with the community app. That's how we run the 26th Club.
Yep.
And so I think that's one of the things that we're doing probably more different than anybody else right now. And as we've grown that, and it's not a loyalty club or a loyalty program, because I don't believe in loyalty programs.
Right.
I believe in fandom. I believe that if you're a raving fan of a brand, then you're loyal.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't believe if you're part of a loyalty club that you're necessarily loyal.
Yeah, exactly.
That you're a fan, right? You just signed up for it, but you just signed up for a lot of them. But if you're a fan, you identify with that. And I think it's the key to it is a relationship. And most restaurants only have that relationship inside the four walls, maybe in a DM on social media, or there's some way of it's kind of whack-a-mole, right?
Yeah.
There's so many places that we're getting inputs of our guests, our fans wanting to talk to us, and it's hard to keep up with it. So what we decided to do is no loyalty program. We want to have a place that we can build a long-term relationship with our fans, and that's via text. I don't believe in general that people are going to be deleting their text messaging apps. I don't have to update an app to keep up with it. And so it's just a way that we can, if you opt in the 26th Club, right? It's a place that we can turn you into a raving fan over time.
Yeah.
And so this new role that you're in, I think you've worn just about every hat in Five Guys when we had it, in Zunzi's, Zunzibar, you've touched everything. And your most recent has been online ordering, delivery,
catering,
HR, payroll,
yeah.
catering, like all of these things. It's hate to say, it's kind of like the the garbage bin of the, but it's yeah, kind of absolutely. Like the inbox of everything that's left over that's not clear of areas of responsibility of different people in the company.
Tying up loose ends.
It was tying up all the loose ends, yeah. But that's where a lot of the opportunity is there. So as we've grown and we've gotten more people on board, we've pulled out some of those areas of responsibility to then free you up for what I think is the most important position in the company.
Building relationships with
building
our customers.
Building relationships in the 26th
and,
club.
And our employees, honestly.
And that's it. So yeah. We have two phone numbers and we're doing a okay job at it right now, in my opinion, right? And a big part of it is we don't get more of what we're not a good steward of. So if we don't take care of the members that are in the 26th club, right, consistently
yeah.
and exceed expectations, we're not going to get more of them.
Everybody right, else is using AI and like we're genuinely, we're engaging with our customers.
Yeah.
It's real people.
We are. We've got, yeah. I think, 8 people that are behind the app, including myself, yeah. that I'm watching it and I'm seeing the interaction. But as we grow, there has to be someone that's saying, hey, are we being a good steward of the relationships we have with our team? Because our team has their own number. So as we grow, I'm excited because as we're opening locations all over the Southeast, hopefully the country here soon, is I'm not going to be able to be in 2 places at once. And there's going to be times where I can't go to a new store opening or there's an amazing thing happening in one of the restaurants. And if I have a team member's, you know, phone number linked to the number that I use to be able to communicate with them, I can celebrate the amazing things they have happening.
Directly with them.
Mm-hmm. And so you're able to help with that.
Yeah.
And you know the voice of what that needs to be for our fans.
I think I know the voice, but yeah.
You know the voice. You know, you've certainly been around me long enough to know that, you know, one of my favorite sayings is don't let, you know, a rule keep you from doing the right thing.
Absolutely.
So we'll break rules when we need to. You know, there's rules are certainly necessary.
You said that it's easier to ask for forgiveness than it is for permission sometimes. But again, as long as you lead with love and,
yes.
and you know, are taking care of the person who you're interacting with, which is genuinely... Like what I love about this business is the opportunity to be able to do that.
Yeah. So what you're doing now is you're seeing opportunities where whenever there's engagement in the 26th club, even if it's just hi, even if it's a mistype.
People just want to be talked to. I mean, they want to be made, you know, just be made to feel like they're seen, you know?
Well, that's it. So people go to restaurants, I believe, to feel good.
Yeah.
Right? So there's an experience and they come in if it's a 1 to 10 number. Right. And they come in at a 5 out of 10. And if they can leave at higher than a 5, that's a good transaction.
Yeah.
Well, the same applies in the 26th club because it's 2-way text messaging. There's some conversations that we have that you have where it just keeps going on and on. It's
yeah.
an everyday conversation that we have. And it seems kind of crazy, but it's just real communication. And I think people are starved for it. I think social media, it's a great thing in a lot of ways. But I think at the same time, it's made relationships be very surface level. You think you know what's going on in people's lives, but you don't talk to them. And then phone calls, right? Where it used to be you'd pick somebody, you know, you'd go grab coffee with them, right? Now it's replaced by maybe a phone call or FaceTime at best.
Or a text.
Now it's all text.
Yeah.
And so it's hard to have emotion behind text. And I believe the quality of your life is the quality of your emotions. Right, so if you're living in that world, it's so surface, and so bring some life to our fan club, the 26th club. Like I said, there's no person better to be overseeing that as we grow. We're gonna have more people that are managing the 26th club, also with my phone number, so I can connect with our team and franchisees, and you helping me out with that. So really excited about that, and I really do believe that's one of the biggest things we're doing that's gonna change the restaurant business. Is really take it what we call a 26x focus on the relationships that are most important in the business. Number one is our team, right? God gives us an enormous sized team that it takes to make sandwiches and wings and chips and all of our great food and drinks at
yeah,
our
we
restaurants,
have an army.
Right?
Army,
no doubt, and it's growing every day. And then you've got the second is our fans, more and more fans every single day joining the club, right? That are coming in. And we don't get more of them if we're not a good steward. And our goal is to be an outstanding steward of that so we get more. And the 26th Club is a great place for us to keep that relationship. And we mess up.
I was going to say, part of it is too, is like, again, I think customers join a loyalty program or whatever to get some kind of discount or to be able to like get some kind of benefit out of it, right? And at the end of the day, sometimes you might join it just to get the benefit of the day and then you leave and you opt out or all the things. Our customers have the opportunity to say what we did right, like what made them say shit, yeah.
Right.
But they also have the opportunity to say what was bad.
And so that's really right? good because the goal of this is for
and
us to learn.
To recover it, right?
We're providing a shit yeah experience in 10 years that's going to probably be different than what it is now. It's still going to be exceeding expectations. The product might change, mm-hmm. right? The way we have to execute our business model. All I know is there's going to be an enormous amount of change over the next 5 and 10 years. But shit yeah and exceeding expectations, I don't believe will go out of style. But if we don't keep up with it and constantly ask the question, what makes you say shit yeah working for, you know, with us and for us or as a customer or a vendor, whatever it is, it's very easy to lose that connection. And I believe for good business, engagement equals EBITDA. Yeah. Engagement equals profit. The more engaged your team is, your fans are, right? And if it's via text, right? And we have that relationship, they're letting us know. We have customers that are fans now that are checking in to see how our business is
yeah.
after a weekend, right? Because we run a great promo or something and they want to see how it performs because they love us. At the same time, you know, we're going out of our way to figure out where the problems are. We're asking every guest if they said shit yeah, yes, no, or shit yeah.
Yeah. We honestly want the feedback.
We're going to mess up. And yep. so the shit yeah promise, this is something that's been controversial for a long time, is we charge a 2.6% fee on every transaction. And it's a shit yeah promise fee. It's on our menu, right? And some people say, oh, it's to cover credit cards. No, what I've realized is that I want our fans, I want our guests to let us know when we mess up. And when we mess up, if they see a shit yeah promise and we messed up, they get really pissed off. And they get pissed off to the point where it allows us to fix it. They will actually let us know. And with that promise that we have,
100% refund.
There you go.
And a gift card for the any
for the exact same value.
Yeah.
So what's the biggest refund that you've done? I think it was Atlanta.
Yeah, we did almost, I think it was $400 on a full catering order that really got messed up. And immediately she let us know because she knew that that's not our standard. Like she said, this was not Zunzi's.
Right.
And it's really messed up. And I, of course, said absolutely, 100%. Didn't even question it, you know. 100% refund. She was blown away. She was like, well, I figured you might just refund me for what items were missing or what items were not that great or whatever. But, and then I sent her the $400 worth of gift cards as well.
Yeah.
And she was like, what? You're going to actually buy me an entire, you're going to replace that catering as well? Absolutely. Because how many times have you ordered for a large group or whatever and talked it up, right?
Oh, it's catering can be the best or the worst advertising.
Yeah.
And there's traffic in Atlanta, right? There's just, the restaurant business sucks. Stuff happens.
But let me tell you, our team killed it. I mean, they said it was the best catering they've had, you know, and they'd had us before, but they were like, this was the best one.
Nice.
It gave us an opportunity to show what drew you to Zunzi's was that something that Johnny and Gabby were already doing, right? Like they were blowing people away. They were just like, here, have a tea on me, you know, or hey, have a bottle of our sauce. You loved it. And it was one thing you did. You took that stuff back to Five Guys. I remember because you were like Silver Bullet. Remember, blow somebody away.
Right.
One thing you have the opportunity and being able to create these tools for our team to be able to do that for our guests, our customers, our fans is you don't have other businesses doing that.
And so the key to it is, you know, for one, it allows me to sleep at night because I'm obsessed about making everybody say shit. Yeah.
They're going to fix it no matter
what. Right. So as a culture, it's like, okay, now it gives permission to our managers and our servers to when it messes up, oh, they know they can go above and beyond to fix it, do whatever it takes in that moment.
Again, also very expensive.
What's that?
Very expensive. That is not cheap, you know?
It's not cheap, but it's part of our model. And I think the restaurant business, I believe, is broken. And I think you've got these you know, sacred cows or whatever it is of like you can and can't do stuff. There really aren't that many rules. And so I believe what we're doing with the 26 Club, with the Shit Yeah Show, the Shit Yeah Promise, is it takes thinking outside the box and testing and trying new things to actually make a difference and
try and fix things.
To fix things in the restaurant business. And do it. And because we do things different, people question it. And so that's really the purpose of this show is to talk about why we do things different, why we have the 26 Club. It's an amazing thing that I think it's going to be our X factor. It's going to be what really differentiates us, because we're just 26x focused on being a good steward of those two most important relationships that God gives us, our team and our fans, right? And we don't get more of them unless we're just a great steward of that. And getting that focus, I think there's so many moving parts in the restaurant business. Getting everybody aligned and focused on one thing.
Understanding the why. Yeah.
Right. That's it.
Why we're here.
The restaurant business sucks. We fix it by making people say shit yeah, by doing business different. And Sarah, you've been doing it for 13 years. It's just in your DNA.
13 more.
13 more. It'll be 26.
Yeah, yeah.
unbelievable. And, you know, it's on Zunzi's time, and we know what that means in Urban Dictionary.
Yes.
So it certainly doesn't feel like 13. Being able to work with you for 13 years. We've had our ups and downs, but it's direction, not perfection. And I know with you, you know, overseeing the 26 Club, there's no doubt that we're going to keep on growing, and the best is yet to come. So
thank
blessed
you.
To have you with the company. So excited to be able to have you here. We're certainly going to have you back as we, you know, see the amazing results that are happening with the 26 Club.
Yeah.
And we'll share it with our fans of the Shit Yeah Show.
Sounds good.
All right.
Are we going to drink sauce now?
Yes. So now we're going to say Shit Yeah by cracking open a bottle of Shit Yeah. So we've had a lot of versions of
yes,
this.
Yes, we have. I was going to say,
back
you and I have
York
done
Street,
lots of tastings.
We have. Yeah, so Sarah is our official taste tester. Every time we go to the factory now or we got something, Sarah has a refined palate that that I trust. So here we go. Cheers.
Oh.
Air cheers. Shit, yeah. All right. Just as good as always.
It is. Yep. This has been the best version for sure.
Totally agree.
A little bit of bite at the end. Thank you so much.
So, all right. Well, this is fun, Sarah. Shit yeah.
Shit yeah.